Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers?
Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe?
Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? By Thy call of mercy, by Thy grace divine, we are on the
Well, good morning, my friend, and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's great to be with you today. Now, last week we talked about the conversion of the Apostle Paul, and you may remember how an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus transformed this persecutor of the church into an apologist and missionary for Christ. Now, today we're going to talk about Paul's commission by God to go and minister for Christ Jesus. His ministry was filled with hardship and persecution. It's an ironic turn of events for the former chief persecutor of the church. But God had specially prepared him for a work that would take the message of the gospel throughout the world. I hope you'll be able to stay with us for today's program.
King in His splendor and power. I call you to enter His presence. Come linger in glory this hour. Let us stand in awe, though we only see but a tiny glimpse of His majesty. Let us pray. Stand amazed. I call you now.
Look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the blessings that we have to know you, to have a personal relationship with you, and have our sins forgiven. Lord, as we look at the story of Paul today, help us to remember that you can transform any life into exactly what you want us to be. You've made us, you've created us, and you have a purpose and a place for each one of us. Pray that you would help us today to worship you and give you glory. For truly you are worthy of our praise. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you for your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can go to LebanonGMC.com where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Sometimes I feel so small. I wonder what God wants from me. What will I be? I listen for his call, try to wait so patiently, though I may not see. When I cannot find my way, I just remember the promise he made. Plans I have for you, I know exactly what to do. I will work a wonder for your good. I will listen when you pray, give you peace for each new day. Trust in me your whole life through, I know the plans I have for you.
It's a mystery. I try to understand and follow everywhere he leads, for my heart believes.
And when I cannot see the end, I hear him saying again and again,
I know the plans I have for you, I know exactly what to do. I will work a wonder for your good. I will listen when you pray,
give you peace for each new day.
Trust in me your whole life through, I know the plans I have for you. Search me with all your heart, seek me and you.
Filled with hope,
filled with hope,
a
I know exactly what to do. I will work a wonder for your good. I will listen when you pray, give you peace for each new day. Trust in me your whole life through. I know the plans I have for you. Trust in me your whole life through. I know the plans I have.
In the 1930s, Joseph Stalin ordered that all the Bibles be confiscated from the Russian people and that Christian believers be sent to prison camps. Ironically, most of the Bibles were not destroyed but were put in warehouses, yet many Christians died in camps as enemies of the state. Then, when the USSR was dissolved, a ministry team arrived in Russia in 1994 for ministry. You see, they'd made arrangements to have Bibles shipped to Moscow and in an effort to evangelize in the area, but their shipment was being held up. Someone told them about a warehouse outside of town where confiscated Bibles were still being stored, and remarkably, the team was granted permission to distribute those Bibles. So the team hired several local Russian workers, and they began to load trucks full of Bibles. Ken Taylor, one of the members of the commission team, tells the following story. He said that one young man, a hostile agnostic, came only for the day's wages, but not long after they had started, the young man disappeared. Later, the man was found in the corner of the warehouse weeping, a Bible in his hands. You see, he had intended to steal the Bible for himself, but as he picked a Bible off one of the shelves, and before stuffing it in his coat, he opened the Bible to the front page, and to his shock and amazement, it bore the signature of his late grandmother. Her signature was on the very front page. The very Bible that his grandmother was persecuted for and died for transformed this young Russian man. He would later commit his heart and life to the Lord Jesus. You see, the God that he had so many doubts about had found a way to speak directly to his heart. What a shocking experience to think a system of beliefs is wrong, or at very least mistaken, and then discover the truth about how it has personally impacted your life, even as you were resisting it. And also, to find that it's true. Find it for yourself. As we discussed last week, the Apostle Paul's transformation was a remarkable testimony of the power of God to change the angry persecutor of the church into a love-filled ambassador for Christ. So, as we begin reading today in Acts chapter 9, I'd like to remind us that Paul's commission was not to bring glory or recognition for himself, but to bring glory and recognition to Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? And Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Now, sometimes I feel as we read through this account here in the book of Acts, we might assume that Paul is quickly commissioned to go and take the gospel to the Gentiles. But I'd like to remind us that this was not the case necessarily, because Paul mentions in Galatians chapter 1 that he spent 3 years in Arabia before going to meet the apostles in Jerusalem. Now, some of this was quite possibly spent in Damascus, in sharing Christ in the synagogues, as we read here. But it would seem likely that Paul also traveled to other areas as well and shared the gospel in other places. What he did and accomplished there, we don't really have a record of, but it seems that God was teaching him and preparing him for his future work. It wasn't just time wasted, even though there's really nothing recorded about it by Luke in his account. But I find it interesting that the zealous Paul was temporarily removed from the mainstream by a God who knew exactly what Paul needed. And it seems that for some time, God was preparing him for the work that he would do. You see, Paul's commission, Paul's calling, was a call of God upon his life. And he began this work with little recognition from the other apostles. Often as we read about the travels that Paul took and the holy boldness that came upon him as he encountered many tough times, we think of a man who's in the spotlight, preaching and teaching in the face of incredible opposition and recognized as a leader in the early church. But I think we do good to stop and remember that much of this came after a time of preparation and work in a possibly rough and discouraging place. Note that there's nothing said in Galatians about converts from his ministry during this time, nothing that Paul records in other books about this time. Luke doesn't even mention the time. It's as if it was just simply uneventful and had nothing about it to report to Theophilus as he's recording the book of Acts. But we see here that Paul is well acquainted with hardship and trouble, long before he's sent out on missionary journeys by the apostles. It reminds me of the story of a missionary society that once wrote David Livingston and asked, "Have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you." Livingston wrote back, "If you have men who will only come if they know there's a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all." I think perhaps in a similar way, Paul was simply not waiting to preach the gospel and he's recognized by the other apostles or had invitations in more popular places. But in the place he was humbly preaching and teaching in the synagogues of Damascus, faithfully preaching about Jesus to the Jews and Gentiles. He was preaching and teaching because of a love that had been placed in his heart, and that zeal that he had against Christ was now a zeal for Christ and not for personal profit. Again, Paul's commission was not to bring glory or recognition for himself, but his goal, his aim, was to bring glory and recognition to Christ. As we break back in at verse 23, we read, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed amongst the Grecians. But they were about to slay him, which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." We see here that Paul's experience in ministry was filled with trouble and difficulties. Again, Paul's commission caused him personal danger, and even the other apostles didn't trust him at first. But God was at work in his life, and God was accomplishing his plan in Paul. We see here that Barnabas was his ambassador at first, paving the way for him to be accepted in the church. But the power of God was clearly evident in Paul's life, and this holy boldness that caused him to be a target of hatred in many places where he'd come to preach is also used here. Paul seems to be viewed perhaps at times as a bit of a rabble-rouser in Jerusalem, with his bold speech that angered many. But stop for a second and think of who he's speaking to. He said specifically he was talking to the Grecians. And the Grecians were Hellenistic Jews, or Jews that had adopted much of the Greek culture. They spoke the Greek language, they used the Septuagint as translation for their scriptures. And God had specially prepared Paul to minister and spread the gospel to these Jews. Remember, Greek culture thrived on debate and philosophies. And Paul was equipped to talk with these men on their intellectual level with ease and confidence. Also, his bold speech was used by God to broaden the reach of the gospel and cause many in the city to consider Jesus. I think as I read through this, it reminds me again that God was interested in taking the gospel message to all people groups, all languages, and all classes. It reminds me, for my own hometown, the ones that I'm praying for, there's hope for all people. My friend, the message of the gospel is still applicable. It's still available to all who will believe. If you're a Christian today, I encourage you to find ways to share your faith with those around you. Contact and try to see the world through the eyes of Christ. Also, try to see the possibilities for God to work miracles right in the middle of so many problems that surround us. God understands our strengths, He understands your weaknesses, and right now, if we'll be surrendered to His will, God is accomplishing His work in us. In troubles and trials, we can trust Him that He is working for our good and for His glory. Even sometimes, maybe you don't feel like you're accomplishing much for Him. I encourage you to keep trusting Him and walking with God faithfully. But, my friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, the message of the gospel is for you. That same God who stopped Paul on the road to Damascus is calling out to you. He's offering forgiveness and peace within for you. He wants to bring healing to the parts of you that have been broken by sin and ruined by your own decisions and choices. God has a place for you in His kingdom and a meaning-filled work for you to do. Won't you accept His call? I trust that we may, like Paul, find that we've been commissioned by God, not to bring glory or recognition for ourselves, but to bring glory and recognition to Christ.
Make me a vessel.
That song was entitled My Highest Calling by the Glick Family. I trust that you, like the Apostle Paul, will follow God's call in your life. Well, my friend, our time for this program is quickly coming to a close. But if you'd have a question about how to be saved or perhaps a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or at 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690, or you can always send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. That's lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be delighted to help you in any way that we can. If you need a ride to church, we have multiple buses that cover much of the city of Lebanon each Sunday morning and bring people to Sunday school. If you enjoy a good story, you should try out our Dial a Story program. You can find a new story each week by calling 717-273-4561 and listen to a story geared for children, sharing the gospel message and building Christian character. We're a church of just ordinary people who have found God to be the answer, the hope and help of all who seek Him. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.
When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with Thee. But He tells me there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in trials for me. He leaves the sign still water somewhere in the valley below. He draws me aside to be tested and tried. But in the valley He restored my dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shine, and I question, Lord, why must this be? But He tells me there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in trial for me. He leaves beside still water somewhere in the valley below. He draws me aside to be tested and tried. But in the valley He restored my soul. Yes, in the valley He restored my soul.